மத்கதா பிராணா போதியந்தா பரஸ்பரம் கதயந்தஷ்ச மாம் நித்யம் துஷ்யந்தி ச ரமந்தி ச. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Who is translating? And for the ladies, who is translating? Pure devotees, whose characteristics are mentioned here, engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing him with other devotees. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself. And in the mature stage, they are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in his abode. Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. There are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different planets of the universe, and out of them there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. This devotional service is just like a seed, and if it is sown in the heart of a living entity, and if he goes on hearing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, that seed fructifies, just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular watering. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters into the Brahma Jyoti effulgence in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky also, that plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter on the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as a plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruits, and the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. Translation. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from enlightening one another and conversing about me. qualification of receiving the mercy of Krishna is our sincere desire to achieve that mercy. Herein it is explained that an advanced devotee, his thoughts always dwell in Krishna. His life, with all of its limbs, physically, mentally, are fully devoted to Krishna's service. And their great satisfaction and bliss is in associating with other devotees and enlightening one another on topics of Krishna. The association of devotees is herein explained as being very, very important at every stage of our spiritual progress. Essentially, there are three platforms of progress in Krishna consciousness: beginning, middle, and advanced. At the beginning, just by reading the scripture, just by hearing from a devotee, or perhaps due to some past sukrita or pious activities, we develop an attraction for Krishna consciousness. And in that attraction, we are willing to follow the process. In the beginning stages, we are very enthusiastic. And it appears to us that just by chanting Hare Krishna and just by engaging in devotional service, very, very quickly we will achieve the ultimate destination of liberation from material miseries and unalloyed loving service to the Lord. So at this beginning stage, association of devotees is not of foremost importance to our minds. But once we take to the path of bhakti, in that middle stage of purification, that is the time when we absolutely must have proper association of devotees. In the very advanced stages, when we are actually purified of all material desires and we begin to taste the sweet ecstasy of love of Krishna, then that relationship with Krishna becomes so sweet, so beautiful, so satisfying that our association with the devotees is just a natural consequence of that love. So it doesn't appear to be a necessity. But most of us who are here today, we are on that middle stage of our progress in Krishna consciousness. You see, at the beginning, we have some curiosity, we have some attraction, and we start to chant Hare Krishna, we start to read the books, but then we start making some advancement. And that advancement manifests in that we desire single-pointed, one-minded attention on Krishna and Krishna's service. We realize to actually achieve real bhakti, we must make sacrifice and we must surrender. We must put so many other attractions aside to accept what is favorable for devotional service and to reject what is unfavorable. When we actually become sincere and begin to strive and struggle for that single-pointed devotion, then we come to the second stage. And when we come to that stage, then we realize that we are in a vast ocean. Material existence is like a vast ocean. And then we understand how many obstacles from within and without we have to overcome. An insincere devotee, a person just coming, has no idea what they have to do to attain pure devotional service. But once you actually try for that goal, then you see it is a long way and how far we are from it. And then sometimes we think that when I took to this process, I was told it is so easy. I was thinking after 1 year I would be a paramhamsa. But now I see even people who have been struggling on this path for decades are having difficulty. What to speak of me? In order to continue the path of real devotional service, we require very firm faith. Because on all sides, Maya, the illusory energy, is going to try to take us away from Krishna's service. Our previous attachments and inclinations, Maya will start presenting them before us again. How nice it was. What did I give up? For what? And then Maya begins to whisper from within that when you came to Krishna consciousness, this is what you expected. You have been struggling. You have given so much and still you have not achieved the goal. It is not tangible. It is not real. You should do something socially acceptable as being practical in life. Because the further we follow this path of bhakti, the more we realize our own impurities and how far we are from Krishna. Krishna is absolute. Krishna is infinite. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is inconceivable to anyone who has material attachments to that which is finite or temporary. So sometimes, as we make advancement, we begin to experience how difficult it is to understand Krishna as he is. At that time, the only saving grace we have to keep us fixed on the path and progress is the association of Krishna's devotees. It is essential. The scriptures give us so much truth, but without good association of Vaishnavas, our faith in the truths of the scriptures will not withstand the onslaughts of our surroundings. An example is given when a first war is declared. You would not declare war unless you really felt you would win very quickly. But then when you're fighting, then you realize it's going to be a long war with so many enemies. At that time, you absolutely require your comrades the devotees, your associates. When we take to Krishna consciousness in a serious way, actually striving for pure devotional service, you are declaring war against Maya. For those who are karma mishra bhaktas, who approach God or religion or even Krishna for the purpose of fulfilling their material desires, it is not a very difficult path. Eventually, Krishna will fulfill your material desires. But when you associate with sincere devotees, you will never be satisfied with material desires. You will settle for nothing less than unalloyed devotion, surrender. Sarva dharman puritya jamam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishami masacha. And whatever stage we may be in, that is what we are going to be striving for. And to continue, we must have great faith. And that faith is born exclusively from associating with devotees who have faith. Those devotees who are sincere and have the same spiritual objective of ourselves, we must have them. And many may fall. Many may be wounded by material energy. Many may drop behind. But that is natural. We must cling desperately to the association of those who are standing strong and continuing their sadhana and continuing their devotional service. They are our only shelter. They are our connection to Krishna. They will keep us alive. And we, in turn, our greatest service to God is to help keep them alive and strong on the path of faith. When we understand how critically essential it is to associate properly with devotees, then we can make real spiritual advancement, and nothing can impede our progress. It may take our whole life, but it is worth it. Pure devotional service is rare, and it is not cheap. Srila Jiva Goswami has given a definition of the word Bhagavan, in which he explains that Bhagavan is he who is so beautiful and so attractive that he inspires total sacrifice of everything for his service from his devotee. That is Bhagavan. And that total sacrifice is our goal. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, 1 year on his Vyas Puja, he prayed to all of his disciples by thanking them, showing his appreciation, that you are my best friends because you are all saving me from the dangers of material life by engaging me in devotional service. You see, one who takes the position of an acharya never thinks himself to be an acharya, but rather thinks himself to be the servant. And one who understands the power of Maya, at least for the sake of the benefit of others, will present that because all of you are asking questions, therefore, you are engaging me in devotional service. Because you are so anxious to hear, by your mercy, you are engaging me in the service of my spiritual master to speak to you. And by engaging me in this devotional service, you are saving me from Maya, from material affection. Therefore, I am depending on all of you for my service to Guru Maharaj. We are never to think that on the spiritual plane we will ever achieve a position. In this material world, everybody is after position. Everyone wants prestige. Everyone wants benefits. But in spiritual conscious, we never aspire for any position. We simply eternally want to be at the disposal of our spiritual master. It is not that we think that we can give something good to someone else. All of you are preaching to some extent. Do not think you have anything good to give to someone else. You have nothing. But we should simply be at the disposal, willing to do anything in the service of our Guru Maharaj. Then we can benefit others, and then we can become purified. So this consciousness is the essence of our own spiritual progress. So we must learn to appreciate the Vaishnavas. We must understand how much we need the Vaishnavas. Krishna says in Gita, Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyava sadhur eva samantavya, that even if a devotee appears to be doing something unrighteous, still we should consider that person saintly. It is explained that once Bhaktivinoda Thakur was having a vision, and he was walking through the sky, and he came upon the abode of Yamaraj. And there, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada Muni, and Yamaraj, all great Mahajans, they were having a discussion. And they were discussing these two verses of Bhagavad Gita, Api Chet Sudaracharo and Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. The two verses are that even if one appears to be engaging in abominable activities, if he is ananya bhakti, if he is fixed in devotional service, he's still to be considered saintly. And very soon he becomes righteous, dharma. Means he comes to the platform of real dharma. So their discussion was very interesting. That if a person is ananya bhakti, ananya bhakti, if he is actually fixing himself in real devotional service, then sarvadharman parityaja, he's given up all dharma. So why such a person ultimately becomes kshipram bhavati dharmatma? He becomes a follower of dharma. So they were discussing amongst themselves and they could not understand what is the truth. So then they were thinking that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has come. He's a great Vaishnav in the disciplic succession. Let us inquire from him. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that one who is fixed in devotional service, because of his sincere desire, he is dear to Krishna. And even if that person appears on the physical level, on the external level, to be doing something which is not correct, he should be considered saintly. And a person, even a neophyte, even a person who is just beginning the path of bhakti, even a person who's an outsider, if he respects and appreciates that person as being saintly, he becomes dharmatma. He becomes righteous. He becomes the true inheritant of real dharma. And he is given the path of pure love. So through this explanation, which very much satisfied Brahma, Narada, Shiva, and Yamaraj, they understood that by appreciating Vaishnavas, that is the process of getting Krishna's most special mercy. By appreciating Vaishnavas, regardless of the faults or the apparent shortcomings that they may have. And this principle is so important that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at one time in his Gaudiya Math, he gave everyone an order that every devotee, every day, must engage in praising other devotees. An order. Order of the Guru means, even if you do not feel like it, it is an austerity, it must be done. And he said, those devotees, or that devotee who you dislike the most, is the one that I order you to praise every day. Those things in the devotees that bother you and disturb you terribly, you must praise him or her. It is an order. Haribo. Because by doing this, you're forced to look for something good about that devotee. Because you cannot lie. You cannot be untruthful. You have to find something good about that devotee and praise it. And by looking for the good, you find the good. By looking for the good, you become purified. The great acharyas explain that what you speak about and think about is what you become. If you see a fault in another devotee, if it's a real fault, sometimes there's no fault. Sometimes we're at fault. And we love to see our own faults in others. It is said that the world is a mirror of our own mind. Even Krishna was criticized. Shishupal had nothing good to say about Krishna. Because of all of his own bad qualities he was seeing in Krishna. And similarly, Hiranyaksha was blaspheming, criticizing Lord Varahadeva so terribly. And many of the smarter Brahmins were criticizing even Lord Chaitanya, the most merciful of all incarnations, so much. But even amongst our God brothers and God sisters or other Vaishnavas, even if due to some previous conditioning there is a fault, when you contemplate that fault, and when you criticize that fault, do you know what happens? Due to that association, the fault is transferred into you. You adopt that quality. Anytime you criticize a Vaishnava, whatever you criticize them for, you become contaminated with that fault that you're criticizing. You're not helping them. You're not freeing them. But you are contracting the disease yourself. So if you want to pollute your consciousness utterly, criticize Vaishnavas. Whatever you hate about them, you'll hate about yourself, because you will become that. That is the law of nature in spiritual life. It cannot be avoided. But if you speak the praise, if you glorify other Vaishnavas for their good qualities, and you also become influenced by that, by the good qualities you speak about. So therefore, it is a very, very essential part of our sadhana to avoid criticizing and learning how to see the glories in other devotees. It is a regulative principle we must follow. And if it is an austerity, it must be followed. And as we make spiritual advancement, as we become purified, one test is that we start naturally, spontaneously seeing the good in others. And if a person is having some difficulty, we'll never criticize, but we will try to help. We will see the good and try to remove whatever else is there. That is Krishna consciousness. That is the conduct of a Vaishnava. And in order to maintain proper association with devotees, we must understand and follow this principle. Because the association of devotees is a gift of God. If you criticize what God gives you, He will take it away. And when He takes away your inclination to be with devotees from within your heart, then you know you have lost His mercy. And He's reciprocating with your own offenses. So this is very important. So we must try to keep the association of those devotees who are most positive in their sincere execution of the principles of bhakti. And this is how we make spiritual progress. Progress means selection and elimination. It's like in school, we are given exams. If you take a test, you see some of your classmates fail and they go back, and some of your classmates pass and go forward. So similarly in Krishna consciousness, every devotee is being tested. Those tests are necessary. They're arranged by Krishna. And if we're sincere, He will protect us, definitely. But some are not so sincere, and they fail the test. We must keep very, very strong association with those who are progressing. Even in school, sometimes in the primary classes, a student is very intelligent and gets best grades and is very much glorified by all. But then in the higher education, that person does not do very well. And sometimes someone is very dull in the primary classes, but in higher education is very, very bright and gets best grades. So similarly, sometimes people come to Krishna consciousness and they make a sensational start. They just give up so much, and they're dancing so nicely and chanting so nicely, and their sadhana is so good, and they just give so much in charity to the Vaishnavas, and they're so strict. But then later, as they progress and other tests come, they give up their Krishna consciousness. So it should pain our hearts, but it should not confuse us. Whoever is continuing on the path, we need them. Srila Prabhupada once said, do not be surprised how many people may leave Krishna consciousness. You should be surprised by how many people may stay. Because this is a path of pure devotional service. And it's difficult. But it's easy also. If we learn how to have loving relationships with Vaishnavas, it is an easy path. Without it, it is so difficult, it becomes impossible. Everything is dependent on the association we keep and the faith that we nourish through that association. In this regard, there's a beautiful story which just shows on the advanced platform how important and how loving and dear the association of devotees are. It is a story from the Bhakti Ratnakar. by Narahari Chakravarti. And it is a narration which describes the consort of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Janava Devi. After Lord Nityananda Prabhu left this world, she became the prominent acharya of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and she decided to take a pilgrimage to Vrindavan to meet all of the devotees there. They so much were longing for her to come. She was like the guru's guru. There were so many gurus in Vrindavan with so many disciples, but they all accepted Janava Devi as the prominent guru of all of them. Just like in our ISKCON movement, there are so many gurus, but still we accept Srila Prabhupada as the prominent guru over all. So this is a natural feeling within Vaishnava society at certain times and places. So Janava Devi, with an entourage of her very dear associates, began to travel to Vrindavan. And they came to one village. And that particular village, there was some Vaishnavas, but most of the people in that village were very, very materialistic. And they hated devotees. They were always criticizing devotees. What is all this loud chanting and dancing? Why you're living such simple lives? Do not you know that eating, drinking, having fun time with your senses is the goal of life? So they would worship various demigods for material benefits. And they were always harassing Vaishnavas. So when Janava came, all the devotees came to her and were touching her feet and bowing down and offering prayers to her. And when these demoniac people saw this, they were outraged. Just see the Vaishnavas. They worship human beings. We worship the goddess Chandi, and we get all of our benedictions. But they are worshiping a human being. Therefore, they are condemned, and they are misleading and polluting the society by their example. So they all went to the temple of Chandi Mata, and they all began to lodge their complaints that, please destroy this Janava. She's misleading people. She's accepting worship. And please destroy all these Vaishnavas, because they are worshiping mortal beings. And they are not properly understanding that all worship is meant for you, goddess. They are giving their worship to somebody else, so they should be destroyed. And they were even making plans themselves to punish the devotees. That night, in their sleep, each and every one of these devotees of Chandi Devi, she appeared to each of them individually in their dreams. And she was very angry, not at Janava or the Vaishnavas, but at them. And she had her chopper, and she told them that Janava Devi is the consort of Nityananda Prabhu, who is Lord Balaram himself. And Balaram and his consort are worshipable not only by all living beings, but also worshipable by me, Goddess Chandi said. And if you have any affection for me, you will worship and surrender to those who I worship. The Vaishnavas are fulfilling the ultimate religious principle by honoring and worshipping Janava Devi, who is the consort of the Lord himself. Therefore, if you ever criticize her again, or any of these devotees, I promise you, it is my word that I will sever your head with my sword and I will send you to hell forever. Chandi Mata ki! And then she roared in anger and she disappeared. And all the devotees not devotees, all the devotees of Chandidevi. They woke up the next morning and they all ran to the lotus feet of all the Vaishnavas and began offering their obeisances and begging forgiveness. And all the Vaishnavas said, we are only the servants of Janavadevi. So then they all ran to Janavadevi and begged her forgiveness. So she forgave them. And she told them, you should all worship Krishna and chant the holy names.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
They all became devotees. Janavadevi ki. Then they began to travel on. They came to another village. And they were just staying in a place outside that village. And some dacoits, very cruel murderers, they saw her. And they were thinking that so many people are following her. She must be very rich. She must have jewelry and all sorts of wealth. So tonight, when she is sleeping, we will cut her head off, we will murder her, and we will steal everything she has, as well as her associates. So they had spies inspecting what is Janava and the Vaishnavas doing. So of course, they were having Harinam Sirk Sankirtan, dancing very jubilantly, like all proper devotees do, with their arms raised, chanting the holy name. Go to Premanandi! And after Kirtan, just like at Radha Gopinath temple, they took prasad, and then they all went to sleep. So the news came. Meanwhile, these dacoits, they were staying very close by. Just a few minutes walk from where Janava and the Vaishnavas were, they were staying, hiding, waiting for the word. When they heard she was sleeping, it became dark. They wanted to strike when the iron is hot, as they say. So they began to run full speed to the place where they were just going to make a sudden raid, kill her, steal everything she had, kill everybody and leave. It was only a 2-3 minute run, perhaps. They ran, and they ran, and they ran. They kept running. And it was right in front of them. And no matter how much they ran, it was still right in front of them. And they were running faster and faster and faster. And no matter how fast they ran, her house was still right in front of them. And they ran with all their might, all night long. And finally, the sun rose, and they were still running. And they still hadn't reached her house. And then they saw what appeared to be Janavadevi. And they went to where she was, and they were about to kill her. But then they realized it was a mirage. It was just an illusion. She wasn't there. And when they looked around, they were in the exact same place, under the exact same tree that they began the night before. So the leader of the dacoits understood that we should surrender to Janavadevi. She is not an ordinary human being. So he went and he confessed his sins before her and begged her forgiveness. And of course she forgave them and she initiated them into the chanting of the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
they approached Mathura, when they arrived in Mathura, the Brijbasis and the devotees were so happy to see her. They honored her and they offered so much of their love and devotion. She went to Vishram Ghat and there she took her bath, and the devotees brought her to see Keshavaji, the deity that was at that time installed at Krishna's Janmastan. And then they took her to a very beautiful house to rest for the day. And they sent messages to the Goswamis in Vrindavan that Janava Devi was coming to Vrindavan the next morning. So she began to walk. And when they came close to the place called Akrura Ghat, where Akrura saw the beautiful form of Krishna and Balaram transform into the Vaikunthic expansions of Narayan. Akrura Ghat is just the last stage of Vrindavan before you cross Jamuna to come to Mathura. There, the devotees of Vrindavan were so anxiously waiting to meet her. There was Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Jiva Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Krishna Das, Madhu Pandit. And when they came before Janava Devi, they all bowed at her lotus feet and offered her so much affection and devotion. They all accepted the humble position of being her servant. And they brought her into Vrindavan and arranged nice house for her, nice prasad. And they brought her to see all the beautiful deities of Vrindavan, Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, Radha Vinod of Lokanath Goswami, Radha Gopinath of Madhu Pandit Goswami, Radha Raman of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Radha Damodar of Jiva Goswami. And when she was seeing the beauty of the forms of these deities, she was just enraptured in ecstatic devotion. She was weeping and sometimes falling unconsciousness in her ecstasy of love. In this way, the devotees were very happy to be in her saintly association. It was the fulfillment of their long cherished desire. And they sat together to exchange Krishna Katha and have beautiful kirtan of the holy name. Janava was told that Raghunath Das Goswami was still living. But because of the disappearance of Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, his love for these Vaishnavas was so deep and so rich that the separation from them was unbearable to him. Raghunath Das Goswami was living on the banks of Sri Radha Kund, the most holy and sacred of all places. But see the love amongst the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan. They had so much affection for each other that they couldn't live without each other. Because whatever love you show to a devotee, Krishna accepts that as love for him. And whatever ill feelings you show toward a devotee, Krishna will accept that as ill feelings toward him. So So one of the signs of one who loves Krishna is one who loves devotees. And Raghunath Das Goswami was Prayojana Guru. He was the manifestation of the highest love for Krishna. Therefore, he was manifesting the highest feelings of love for Krishna's devotees. And when Srila Rupa Goswami left this world, Raghunath was in such separation, which is an ecstasy of love materialists can never understand, that he could not eat food and he could not drink water. His body was becoming weaker and weaker and more emaciated. He could hardly walk. He would pray that in separation from Srila Rupa Goswami, why am I still living in this body? When will that moment come when I can be liberated from this material existence and attain the wonderful association of Srila Rupa Goswami again? So although Raghunath Das very much wanted to offer his homage and worship the feet of Janava Devi, he was so weak and so emaciated, he could not go to Vrindavan to meet her. So when this dilemma was told to Janava, she said, let us go to Radhakund to see Das Goswami. So the next morning, her and her entourage with the other Vaishnavas began to walk. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami at that time was also living at Radhakund. He was very old. And he sent message to Gopal Bhatta Goswami and to Sri Raghava Pandit, who were living at the time at Nandagaon and at Govardhan, that please come, Janava is coming also. Please come to see Raghunath Das. He's in a very, very difficult situation. So all the devotees came when they heard that Raghunath was in a difficult state of mind. And Janava Devi went through the Bahulaban forest and approached Govardhan Hill and then was approaching Sri Radhakund. And as she was approaching Radhakund, the Bhakti Ratnakar explained what was her state of mind. It is described by Srila Rupa Goswami that in the entire Brahmanda, or material universes, this earth planet is the most sacred place. Why? Because it is on this earth planet that practically all of the principal avatars of Sri Krishna have descended to perform their lila. And even Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna himself, who is the source of all incarnations, Lila Purusha, he performed his pastimes on this earth. And of all the places of the earth, Bharat or India is the most sacred, because it is here that the Lord enacted his lila, in here that the Vedas and the highest revelations of the absolute truth were revealed and to this day are still preserved. And of all places of India, the district of Mathura is most holy, because it is in the district of Mathura that the Lord has taken place, birth in this world. And of all the places in the district of Mathura, Govardhan is the most sacred, because it is in the places around Govardhan Hill that Krishna performs his most intimate pastimes of the Vasant Ras Lila and so many wonderful Sakyaras pastimes, Madhuyaras pastimes. And of all the places of Govardhan, Radhakund is the paramount, supreme jewel of all holy places, because it is here that the divine couple of Radha and Krishna exchanged the sweetest sentiments of ecstatic love, and nowhere else but Radhakund. In fact, Radha Kund is said to be non-different than the love and devotion of Radharani for Krishna in liquid form. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan, this is one of his greatest goals, to discover Radha Kund, which had been lost to the eyes of the general people. And he personally, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Radha, it was only he who could authoritatively explain, where is Radha Kund? And he revealed it to the world. And he assigned Raghunath Das Goswami to live on the banks of Radha Kund. So Janava Devi was coming, and she was approaching the most beautiful, the most charming, the most spiritual place in all of existence. And although she was very much enamored by the beauty and sweetness of Radha Kund, the Bhakta Ratnakar explains that foremost and prominent in her mind was not Radha Kund, but it was to see and give pacification to Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. By her example, she is showing us that there is no greater place than the lotus feet of a real Vaishnava. That service to a Vaishnava is the supreme meditation of the great souls. And as she was approaching with the constant meditation of visiting with Raghunath, who could not come to see her and satisfy him, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami ran to Raghunath Das Goswami and said, Das Goswami, Janava Devi is coming. She's on her way. She's just here. And although Raghunath was just sitting in kirtan, chanting the holy names, he was sitting in a very solitary, isolated place, just by himself, chanting Krishna's names and Sri Radharani's names. When he heard the news that Janava was coming just to see him, he jumped up. And with all the strength he had, he somehow or other began to move as rapidly as possible to where Janava was approaching him. And when Janava saw Raghunath coming, although he was weak, of ill health, emaciated, his body was not even a body fit to be alive, but somehow or other he was living, she saw that he was effulgent like the sun with his love for Krishna. And he was so blissful and happy that she had come. And Raghunath Das Goswami fell at her lotus feet. He bowed down and worshipped her with all of his heart. The very wife of Sri Nityananda Prabhu had come. And Janava Devi satisfied the desires of Raghunath by her gracious darshan. And together the devotees discussed the topics of Gornitai and Radha and Krishna and had beautiful kirtan. And then Janava Devi, although she was the topmost of all devotees, she was always in the mood of serving the Vaishnavas. It was there at Radha Kund that personally with her own hands she began to cook. She cooked wonderful, wonderful preparations and she offered them to Radha and Krishna. And then that prasad, she personally called all the Vaishnavas and served them. And then she called the other Vrijavasis who were living in that Arita village where Aristasura was killed. and she began to serve prasad cooked by her own hands to all of the Brijavasis. And in this way, she gave everyone the ecstatic experience of Krishna Prema and induced everyone to happily chant the holy names. After 3 or 4 days at Radhakund, where Janava Devi was cooking for every day and serving the devotees, she had a beautiful vision under a particular tree of Radha and Krishna. And then the devotees invited her to go back to Vrindavan. And when she left, Krishnadas Kaviraj and Raghunath, she asked Raghunath for her permission and blessings to leave. This is the nature of the great souls. They become subordinate and obliged to the Vaishnavas, especially such a Param Vaishnava. And Raghunath Das Goswami gave her permission to leave and bowed to her lotus feet. And then she began, all of them were crying in separation from one another. And then she was taken through all the 12 forests of Vrindavan. She saw Govardhan, Nandagaon, Barasana, Mahavan, Kokilavan, Badravan, Bandiravan, Kokilavan, Kamvan, Talavan, Madhuban, Kamudavan, Lohavan, Bahulavan, Vrindavan. And when she returned to Vrindavan, she each day would worship Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Raman, Radha Vinod, Radha Damodar, and she would cook for each of them. And then she would distribute the prasad to the devotees. This is our Vaishnav culture: chanting, dancing, and feasting. And one night, it is explained, she had a dream that Gopinath of the Radha Gopinath temple appeared to her and said that the deity of Radharani standing next to me is too small. So you should make another deity of Radharani that suits my height better. So naturally she was thinking, this is to make another deity of Radharani. Gopinath is ordering me. And then Radharani, who was standing next to Gopinath, she also began to speak. She said, yes, I want you to make another deity of me, bigger than me. So it was confirmed. So when she rose, she immediately began to arrange for another murti of Radharani to be made. And that deity is still there. In fact, the original Radha Govinda, the original Radha Gopinath with Radharani, made by Janava Devi, the original Radha Damodar, the original Radha Vinod, are all in Jaipur, and therefore for our next yatra we are going to Jaipur. This whole narration was to convince you that we that it is a wise choice that we go to Jaipur. We were planning to go to Mayapur for our next yatra. And of course, Mayapur is the supreme abode of the Lord. For those of you who came with us 2 years ago, you remember what a wonderful, wonderful experience we had. So we had planned for the last year that we will go to Navadvip and travel through all the 9 islands, and then also go to Katwa, the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Sri Khanda, the place of Lochan Das Thakur, where he wrote Chaitanya Mangal and Narahari and Raghunandan and Mukunda. And we were also going to go to Jajigram and then to Ekachakra, the place of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. But when we had a meeting to decide, because Srila Prabhupada's centennial is such an important effort which involves so many devotees, the Mayapur Yatra would have to take minimum 2 weeks. And for the devotees to go away for 2 weeks when Prabhupada's centennial begins in the very month of December, beginning of December, and so many preparations to be made, we realized that it's not in the best interest of our service to go to Mayapur for yatra this year. So we have to go on a yatra that is not so long in time, 6-7 days, half the time. So which place should we go? We were thinking Jaipur is very close, and it is the place of the original of most of the 6 Goswami's deities. And many of us have never been to see all these temples. Because as you know, at the time when Aurangzeb, that great Mughal dictator, sent his armies to destroy the temples of Vrindavan, the king of Jaipur invited all the deities to come to Jaipur, and the devotees brought Rupa Goswami's Radha Govinda, Sanatan Goswami's Madan Mohan, Jiva Goswami's Radha Damodar, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Radha Vrindavan Chandra, Lokanath Goswami's Radha Vinod, Jayadev Goswami's Radha Madhava. They were all brought to Jaipur, where they are all still living today. Except Madan Mohan is living in his village called Karoli. So our plan is to go to Jaipur and Karoli, where we will have nice kirtan and discussions of the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, where all of their sacred deities are. And you should all be very happy that we are going to this holy place, where we will perform the sacred principles of chanting, dancing, and feasting. So today we are beginning to accept applications to our yatra to Jaipur and Karoli. And during the Mayapur festival this year, during the month of February, there is a Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, where there'll be, because it's Prabhupada's centennial, people from all over the world will come for this walking padayatra of all of Navadvip for 7 days. And there'll probably be many thousands and thousands and thousands of devotees. So if you want to go to Mayapur this year and walk through all the holy islands, you are all welcome to come during the international Navadvip Parikrama in Sridhar Mayapur. And we can also help make arrangements for any devotees to go there. So Janava Devi was worshipping these deities, the same deities that we will go to worship, and cooking for them. And she also brought beautiful jewelry and silks from Bengal. She brought them and offered nice gifts to all the deities. And eventually she departed from Vrindavan
Gopal Bhatta, Lokanath, Ugarbha, all of these great Vaishnavas were walking with her, and they came to Akrura Ghat, and they just didn't want to give up her association. And she told the devotees that now you must go back to Vrindavan. You must go back to your seva, to your deities. But Jiva Goswami could not give up her association. So he went all the way up to Mathura with her. And then she bid farewell to him, and she proceeded back to Godadesh with her entourage of Vaishnavas. So through this beautiful narration, we find the fulfillment in practical life of this sloka from Bhagavad Gita. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki. Shri Nithai Gauda Chandra ki. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki. Nithai Gopremanandi.